This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Dan Willingham joins me live in studio. He is a professor of psychology at the University of Virginia. And, of course, his most recent book is Why Don't Students Like School? A Cognitive Scientist Answers Questions About How the Mind Works and What It Means for the Classroom. Dan, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Coy. Pleasure to be here.
Now, we wanted to have you in to discuss this new study that just came out that is really staggering. I don't want to say revolutionary on a day when they're having a revolting in Egypt. It sort of demeans the word. But this has the potential, really, to change things in the classroom and to change our understanding, really, of how students best learn. Tell us about the study and what this means.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Coy. This is revolutionary, maybe is not too strong a word for this in terms of classroom applications. So let me take a moment and sort of give you a little bit of background to this, because this is based on a phenomenon that we've known about in small ways, psychologists have known about for like 75 years, and has been the subject of really intense study for, say, about 5 years. And then I'll tell you how this study sort of went one step beyond
sure
that.
Thing.
So the basic phenomenon is called the testing effect, and in a nutshell, what it means is that testing your memory is actually a better way to learn than studying is. So, which is sounds really strange, right? So here's the way an experiment on this would work. You and I go into a laboratory or classroom or something like that, and we each read the same chapter out of a history textbook, for example. Then we come back 2 days later, and you take a test on that material. Somebody gives you a test on it for 45 minutes. During that 45 minutes, I am restudying the material, reading over the chapter again. Then we both come
taking
back.
Notes, taking memorizing notes, memorizing things.
Exactly, doing whatever it is.
Creating
I think
mnemonic
I need
devices.
To,
yeah, whatever.
All that stuff, exactly, right. Studying my best because I know I'm going to be taking a test on it later. And then indeed, 2 days later, both of us take a test. It's now your second test, the first time I've taken a test. You're going to do better on that test than I will. Now, and it's not a small effect.
Even though I didn't really get that study hall time.
Exactly, exactly. So we each read it initially, and then you took a test on it, and I restudied the material.
And I would do dramatically better.
Dramatically better. Like, it's something like 50% increase.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so it's not a small effect, right? Very reliable. And this is, as I said, lots of studies in this vein for the last 5 years or so. So you would think, like, well, gosh, how come this hasn't been a big deal in education up till now? Like, if these findings have been around. So this is where this new study comes in. One thing that a lot of people, including me, we sort of looked a little skeptical in terms of the classroom application of this, because the way it had been done, it was not with a chapter from a history textbook. It had been something like a list of words. And then when you took a test, it wasn't really probing deep knowledge of the sort we would hope students would get. It was just sort of, can you remember the list of words, right? And so now this new experiment went beyond the old work in two ways. First of all, they're testing college students, and they took snippets from college-level textbooks. That was the material that students were to
so
learn.
So it was real-world application in the study.
It was absolutely the real thing that, you know, you college professors asked students to go out and learn. The second thing that was very impressive about this was that they didn't just leave students to their own devices in terms of how they were going to study. So you had one group that was being tested, as I said, and then another group studying. Well, how do you know they're doing good studying? What they had students do is what's usually considered to be the gold standard way to study. This is the way future teachers are taught. This is how your students should study. The technique is called concept mapping. And what it means if I didn't have this when I was a student, I don't know if you did, Coy, so it might be
doesn't sound too familiar.
Yeah, yeah. So basically what you do is as you're reading.
I did a lot of memorizing at 2 a.m., put
it that way. Well, maybe we better not go there. So what you do is you sort of draw little circles and you put label each circle with a concept, and then you draw links, lines between them. And so the reason concept mapping is so good is it sort of forces you to think about how ideas are connected, right? And as a memory researcher, I would say, oh yeah, that is a great way to memorize something, to really think deeply about the meaning rather than just sort of repeating it to yourself over and over again, for example. So the studying that the students were doing in this brand new study that just came out a week or two ago was really a terrific gold standard studying. And then on top of that, here's a third thing that made this study really special. they used different types of tests. So they didn't, the final test where you're deciding who knows the most, they didn't just do like a multiple choice test or something, because there you could say, well, it's kind of shallow knowledge or probing. They actually had the students draw concept maps, and then they evaluated the accuracy of the concept maps to see how deep their understanding was of the passages that they had studied. And even people who drew concept maps as a way of studying, at the final test when they had to do a concept map again, their concept map wasn't as good as students who had been tested instead of having a study episode.
We're talking with Dan Willingham. His website is danielwillingham.com. He's a professor of psychology at the University of Virginia. We're talking about a revolutionary new study that could change the way that people learn. And again, the takeaway is, don't study like crazy. Even the best studying techniques that exist, take a test or two to start as a way of introducing you as your first step forward. Don't read again. Don't memorize. Don't build concepts maps. Don't build mnemonic devices. Take a test first. Why is that proven to be so successful in this study?
Yeah, this is the thing that is sort of driving memory researchers crazy, because we don't feel like we have a very deep understanding of this. There's some hypotheses about it, and they're pretty technical, and I'm not going to go into it into any detail. A sort of simple version of it is that the process, I should clarify, is not the test. It seems to be the effort of trying to remember that seems to be really important. It actually turns out, people have looked closely at this, you don't have to be successful on the test in order to get the memory boost. It's something about the process of trying to remember that seems to be really important.
Searching your mind for that information.
Exactly. That's what seems to be critical for the boost. One thing that we do know very clearly is that one thing taking a test does is it makes it very plain to you the extent to which you really know something versus don't know something. So I can speak now from practical experience as a professor. If a student comes in and says to me, you know, I'm getting really bad grades on your tests, but I know the material. If I ask that student, how did you study? Almost always the answer will be, well, I read over the book and I read over my notes. What that does is it gives you this increased sense of familiarity, right? You're reading the material and you're like, yep, oh, this all makes sense. Yep, I know this. But you're never really confronting yourself, testing yourself to see whether you can produce it when the book is not in front of you.
Yeah.
That's what's
You're not
crucial.
Asking yourself to recall it.
Exactly.
Without the material in front of you.
Exactly. And that is a different level of knowledge, right? So it's easy for me to recognize it when you're saying it, but for me to be able to produce it myself, that's a different level of knowledge that's necessary. So we know that that's got to be one reason that this helps.
This is really amazing. And I guess the big question then should be, to what extent will this ever get on the ground in the classroom? Because this is something very different from the way teachers currently teach. I mean, what they're basically being told then is, instead of having new material in front of the students and then asking them to go study it or break off into study groups, you should right away give them a test that's not graded. It's part of the learning process. It's not great. It doesn't contribute
exactly,
to any.
Yeah.
But that should happen before they do anything else.
I think that's right. And I mean, I think you would want it to be interleaved with other activities, obviously, right? We can't have the classroom experience be there's, you know, something is introduced and then after that everything is testing, right? You want there to be a variety of experiences in the classroom just for the kids' motivation and for the teacher's sanity.
Yeah.
But you raise a very, very important issue, right? This is very different than the way we usually think of testing, especially now with No Child Left Behind. We tend to think of, when we hear testing, we think high stakes tests. We think a test that causes a lot of stress and so forth. That's completely unnecessary.
That's not what we're talking about.
That's not what we're talking about here. That's not going to give necessary for the memory boost that we're talking about. Teachers already do things like they have Jeopardy games in their classroom as a way of sort of motivating kids to remember things. That's a great example of a way you can have an activity that's test-like, but
right,
doesn't
right.
have any of the stress associated.
Basically,
with
what you're asking the mind to do is to recall the information without having the information in front of it.
Exactly.
As a part of the learning process.
Absolutely. And this is something that parents, you know, whenever it makes its way into school, this is something parents can encourage their kids to do tonight. And this is something that I've been telling my kids, my students to do for several years now. This is the best way to study.
Yeah. Amazing. And I know, because I have two elementary school kids, that does exist to a certain level where they are now in third grade, because they constantly have reading comprehension, where they read something and then they're instantly asked questions about what they read without having to refer back to what they read.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
And that's really what we're talking about here.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's the crucial piece, is the attempt at retrieval when the to-be-remembered material is not directly in front of you.
So do you think we'll see an effort on the part of the people who teach the teachers to get this into classrooms? And like you say, some really smart and progressive teachers are already doing this kind of thing,
right,
in very clever and innovative ways. But by and large, this really should be out there in a big way, I would imagine.
I agree with you, absolutely. And you know, whether it's going to make its way into teacher training, this is always a little hard to predict, right? What's going to end up in those curricula? But as I said, this is an effect that is hard to ignore. When you're talking about something that can increase student retention by as much as 50%, it's the kind of thing you see like advertised on late night television, you know, like melts away the fat, eat whatever you want. It really feels like a silver bullet, something that's not hard to do and yet yields these enormous effects. So it feels like it's so hard to ignore that I'm hopeful that it is going to make its way into teacher training.
Daniel Willingham, he's online at danielwillingham.com, a professor of psychology at the University of Virginia. And wanted to give callers an opportunity, 977-1070, if they have a question for you. And Tom is in Charlottesville. Tom, thank you for the call. You go right ahead.
Thank you. One piece of this puzzle that I did not get that I'd like clarification on was, when the person takes the test, were they then, after the test, supplied with the correct answers so they would know their mistakes? Or did you just kind of refer to them taking the test without an explanation of whether indeed they had a chance of correction?
That's a terrific question, yeah. How does the quote-unquote study test actually work?
That is a great question, Tom. And this is part of what makes it so amazing, is that even if you don't get corrective feedback, you still get this big boost. This is what I said. If you got the corrective feedback, then it would be much easier to understand why it is you get this boost. But you get the advantage in memory even if you are not given the correct answers. This is why I kept emphasizing it's something about the attempt to remember that seems to be crucial. Because even if the memory attempt fails, and even if someone doesn't provide you with the answer later, you still get this advantage.
Because there's been an effort to create that neural pathway with this information? Is that you've sort of...
That sounds good to me, Corey. I said we don't know, I wasn't kidding.
I don't want to get too in the weeds here, but that is all memory is, right? It's just a certain chemical pathway firing in the brain between certain synapses, and creating new memory is basically building new roads in the brain, right?
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah.
Tom, thank you for the call. Daniel Willingham, check him out online, danielwillingham.com. And definitely pick up his new book. It is amazing. Why Don't Students Like School? And we'll take a quick break. Dan, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.